We're so pleased to have on the program State Senator, Republican from Meriden, Len Susio. Senator, welcome to CT on the Hill.
It's a pleasure to be on with you this morning, Dan.
Senator, first of all, we heard that apparently the Honor Guard is going to be fully funded. What can you tell us about that?
That's the rumor. I'm not counting my chickens until they hatch, but it looks like the public pressure has been paying off, and it shows you that when people are motivated, they can have an impact on legislation. So it's not official yet, but that's the word, and I'm hoping that it becomes official very shortly.
So what does that mean for SB 76? Because it was also part of a plan to defund this mileage tax study.
That's right. Well, SB 76 is still there, and in fact, there's going to be testimony today at the Capitol from Commissioner Redeker. There's going to be a Transportation Committee hearing later on today, and Commissioner Redeker is going to be there testifying, and I'm planning on asking him about the study, because even if we do fund the burial honors for our veterans, we're still talking about $300,000 being wasted on a study for a tax and how to implement it that everyone says at the Capitol they don't want any part of. So I don't understand why we're spending $300,000 on a study to implement a tax that the governor and every politician at the state capitol says they aren't even going to bring it up for a vote. So what is the point of it? We're not awash with cash right now. In fact, as you know, we're in desperate times as far as the budget's concerned, and squandering $300,000 of taxpayer money is a waste of money, and it could be spent on far better things, Dan.
You know, this budget has rubbed so many people the wrong way. It's incredible, Senator. I mean, even if the governor were to get the $1.5 billion in union concessions over a two-year period, it wouldn't do anything to stop these property taxes from going up, because under his plan, there's no question it's going to kick back to the local level and these property taxes.
Yeah, and that's the shell game that they're playing at the Capitol right now. They're hoping that they can shift some of the spending burden to the cities and towns. You know, they've got this tax now that they want to authorize the cities to be able to tax the hospitals in their municipalities. And that's going to put a real burden on the local taxpayers, of course. And, of course, anyone who goes to the hospitals, it's going to increase the cost to go get medical care at the hospitals as well. But from a politician's point of view, it's kind of like a hidden tax. That's why it's appealing, because at the state capitol, they figure when you go to the local hospital and you pay more for it, or when you're looking at your real estate property tax, you're not blaming them, you're blaming the local leaders. And it's a shift to blame type of game. It's dishonest and it's misleading, Dan. I think there's widespread opposition to it at the capitol, so we'll see what happens. But it's just another gimmick that's one in a long line of gimmicks that has been done by the Malloy administration, and nothing's worked except for to kick the can down the road, and now we're going to face a disaster that's in the making.
Well, Senator, how do you put a budget together that doesn't kick some of this back to the towns and doesn't raise taxes?
Well, you know, there's a couple of ways we could do this, Dan. One is that I do believe that the pension agreement that they worked out with the unions could be a good thing if it's integrated with an overall plan. See, it was done piecemeal, and because of that, it doesn't really solve the underlying problem. The underlying problem is, number one, we've got to get Connecticut's economy going again. The thing that's hurting us more than anything else, aside from the overspending, is the lack of economic growth in Connecticut. If we enjoy a prosperous economy like we used to enjoy, then the tax revenues would be coming in. But Connecticut's become known as a business-unfriendly state. And believe it or not, even in this terrible business climate that we have, you'd think that the legislature would lay off the anti-business legislation. But no, there's plenty of proposals floating around in the legislature this session to put even more of a burden on Connecticut business. There's very strong anti-business legislation that is still flowing around from the committees in Hartford, and that's sending a message to the business community that Connecticut still hasn't learned its lesson, that we've got to be more receptive to the business community to help our economy grow again and generate the economic growth that'll eventually make it possible for us to afford the services that we want to offer our citizens.
And you know, Senator, maybe it's my imagination, but one of the signs of a robust economy and a robust state is you see houses being built, you see developments being built. I drive around this state. I don't see much of that activity. Do you?
No, and again, Connecticut, unfortunately, has become one of the few states that has had a net migration out of people in the state, and a lot of it's driven by, number one, retirees who are basically saying, why should I stay here in Connecticut? We're one of only 13 states that tax Social Security benefits, for example. It's also the fact that the jobs are not here anymore. We're Massachusetts, our neighboring state that we used to laughingly call Taxachusetts, has not only recovered all the jobs it lost in the Great Recession of 2008, it's tripled the number of jobs that it lost. Whereas Connecticut, we haven't even reached 75% of the jobs that we lost in the Great Recession. And again, Dan, many of those jobs that we are creating today to replace those other jobs, they're lower paying jobs. So that they're, you know, people can't afford to pay the taxes now more than ever because even those that are employed are not making as much money as they used to. We have got to recapture the Yankee ingenuity, that image that we used to have as a state that was receptive to business, that was actually an engine for economic growth itself. We have a fantastic history of businesses that were created here in Connecticut and grew to be big businesses. Sikorsky is one of those businesses, for example. And there's a whole history of them here in Connecticut. That's all been lost now because for the last 15 or so years, it's just been one piece of anti-business legislation after the other. And then we wonder why we're the slowest state to recover from the recession. It's because of the message coming from Hartford that we want to tax business and regulate business to the point where it doesn't pay to have a business here in Connecticut.
But the flip side of this, Senator, is how do we bring about this dramatic change unless we make systemic changes with how the state does the budget? I mean, the way the state...
Yeah.
I mean, this budget, the way it's been put together by the governor, it really makes no sense at all. We need to make systemic changes here.
That's right. And you know, because we delayed so long in making Connecticut an appealing state for businesses, because we delayed that, you know, it takes a few years for that kind of thing to have an impact. So now we're faced with the only thing that we can do in the immediate future with these looming deficits, which is we have no choice but to cut spending at this point in time. If we dare go and try to increase taxes again, it's just going to reinforce the image that we've got as an unfriendly state to business, and it's going to discourage businesses from growing here, going to discourage businesses from locating here. And by the way, Dan, it's not just the tax policies that are discouraging to business. It's the regulation and the way it's imposed on businesses here. I can't tell you how many business people I've talked to who have told me how difficult it is for them to get the regulatory permits that they need to expand and grow their businesses. It's very discouraging to the business community. So it begins at the very top of the chain, Dan. We've got to have the governor and the leadership in the legislature declare that the anti-business era is over in Connecticut. Connecticut's got to become a receptive state to business and a state that encourages business formation. This image, that means one thing too, Dan. It means all this anti-business legislation, which is still floating around in the Capitol today, should be immediately terminated because the message is to business that there's still a strong cadre of legislators who have an anti-business attitude, and that's going to create anxiety and reservations in the business community before they locate here.
Well, essentially what you're saying then is even though the governor's budget does not increase taxes on businesses, at least, and that's somewhat disingenuous because businesses pay property taxes and their property taxes will go up. But that said, his budget doesn't go far enough as far as making a Connecticut a business-friendly state as far as you're concerned.
Not at all. In fact, I think he's conspicuous by omitting anything that's really a concession to business. I mean, think about it, Dan. The very fact that there's no big tax increases for businesses in there. It's like, wow, this is great. There should be a pro-business message in that budget, but there really isn't. It's just that it's more like a negative impression that, okay, we're going to skip raising taxes on a large-scale basis just for this year to get by, and that's it. We've got to, the message from the governor and from the legislature has got to be, we want to be proactive and receptive to business, not passive about it, and just say, oh, look, we're a great state for business because we didn't increase taxes this year. Well, guess what? General Electric left the state because they not only were objecting to the tax increase that was passed in 2015, they saw that the legislature and the governor don't have an attitude that is receptive to business. They saw that in the long run, it was going to be one tax increase after the other, whether it's today or it's next year. The whole attitude's got to change, and it begins from the top down.
Senator, before we let you go, I see we're on February 27th. There will be a public hearing of the Transportation Committee on adding electronic tolls to Connecticut. What can you tell us about that?
Well, again, Dan, there's a lot of confusion around the Capitol, even in the Capitol, let alone in the public, about this tolling issue. And as you and I have discussed before, the Federal Highway Act actually prohibits us from putting tolls on interstate highways that have been paid for with federal tax dollars. There are a couple of exceptions to that, one of which is if you add a lane, you can put a toll on an added lane to an existing highway. And another thing is you can do this congestion pricing, which requires quite a bit of sophistication because you've got to measure the time of day when someone drives through an area because the rate that they would charge would vary depending on the time of day. But what that means, Dan, is this. The poor Connecticut citizen who's got to go to work at the busiest time of day, the rush hour, going and coming from work, they're going to get stuck with the highest part of that toll. So this idea that we're going to stick out-of-state residents with, you know, paying some of the tolls is really misleading because by far the largest burden of any toll should be enacted, even this congestion tolling, is going to be paid by Connecticut taxpayers simply because it's going to be predicated on the congestion pricing, and that means the toll is going to be higher at the rush hour.
I'll tell you, we've got a lot of things going on, that's for sure. But, Senator, thanks very much for spending some time with us today, and keep us posted on SB 76 and also on the funding for the Honor Guard here in Connecticut.
So first to let you know, Dan, and by the way, just your audience has been fantastic. The Transportation Committee has been inundated with hundreds and hundreds of emails. That's going to have an effect. And keep it up. It's not too late for anyone who's listening to the show. They can still email into the Transportation Committee. You can perhaps, I'll have my aide, Adam Liegeau, give you the information. You can pass it on to your audience.
Terrific. Thanks, Senator. We'll be in touch.
Have a great day, Dan.